federal agencies today have a tremendous amount of space. The Postal Service alone has 325 million square feet of building space and over 1.5 billion square feet of site space. And their lease costs are over $1 billion a year. Anything they can do to swing even a small portion of that expense back to the bottom line can deliver a big ROI.
So how can you do it intelligently to make sure people aren't just squeezed together?
That's the tough part. What's most important is to focus on the business objectives of the customer. So the Postal Service, they want to maintain their customer service footprint and keep all those people, keep those customer service lines short. Other federal agencies have kind of a different problem. Their workload is increasing, so they've got to focus on how they can still meet the needs of all those customers and optimize space. So instead of looking at things the Postal Service might be looking at, they're looking at how they can save operational administrative space. And the biggest challenge they have to doing that is trying to get all the data they need in one place from across the organization to help them make those decisions.
Does that mean a full-scale revamp of all of their office structure? In other words, going in, getting rid of everyone's cubicles and just kind of starting again in order to make that change?
No, not at all. What we try to do is focus on the reuse or realignment of existing space. So most agencies aren't looking at new build-outs right now, and they definitely don't have the money to spend on a total realignment of their operations. We try to help them reuse what they have today and shrink it to the size they need to run their business operations most effectively.
Yeah, but what that means is somebody's giving up space somewhere. Closet,
well,
little room, break room, cubicle size. Somebody's got to be squeezed, right?
Well, what we find is that agencies already have a lot of surplus space. The Postal Service has a great deal of uncaptured space in buildings. Operations got more and more efficient across the federal government. Part of it's just history, and part of it's this new effort to streamline. So their space needs are less than they used to be. A great example is at the Postal Service. Their carrier mail sorting space used to be about 123 square feet per carrier. Now it's down to about 95 square feet. And they've got new machinery that's helping sort the mail faster and in a smaller space. And they have a lot of floor left where those carriers used to sort, where those mail processing machines used to be.
So how does the process work? Say you go into an agency, and it's a typical agency. There might be some offices around the perimeter and cubicles in the middle, and there's little areas for the copiers and so on. What happens to find out how the best way to use that existing space is?
Well, the approach is based on the same some technology you see every day. So it's the same systems you see that organize the traffic lights to minimize or maximize traffic flow. And the same thing the Postal Service already uses to optimize the way they deliver the mail. And in industry, it's used to optimize supply chains, develop pricing models, or design factory floors. The field is called operations research. At the core of it, there's a model that represents all the business operations that need to be optimized. At the Postal Service, that means that's all the business data related to space in a facility. So it might be the customer service counter space, the carrier mail sorting space, or equipment space. What we do is build a model that represents that, and then we use mathematical techniques to find alternative ways to use that space that can lead to cost reductions or improve customer service. At the Postal Service, that model is obviously really large. We've got 34,000 facilities, 250,000 vehicles, and almost 500,000 employees, so we simplify the model. And we only focus on the business operations that are the real primary cost drivers. And our approach is maybe a little bit different than what you'd expect from an operations research group that's working on an engineering problem. We have people that have local and business knowledge that can't be captured in the system. For example, if you're running a private company and your CEO shops at a store down the street, you might not want to consolidate the line out of your system. You want to keep it. So we take into account that human element. And instead of just telling users this is the way you're going to optimize the system, we show them alternatives, better solutions, and let them explore those alternatives and use their knowledge to pick the best process.